This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
People dead after a horrible shooting and execution at the SunTrust Bank in Sebring, Florida. Details on that horrible story. And also now word that air travel could come to a halt. At least that's the rumor. Thanks to this government shutdown, the unions have the power. And speaking of the power and talking about what's going on with the wall, is there a compromise? What are the Democrats going to do? And what is Donald Trump going to do? Donald Trump, the president, says Pelosi canceled the State of the Union address because she's afraid of the truth. So more of the tit for tat, the typical of what we're seeing happen in politics these days, certainly, is the war of the Dems, it's the party leaders, and the president of the United States, just back and forth, back and forth. And, you know, I'll tell you what, Republicans, Democrats, etc., even a Fox poll that just came out is showing that people are worried about the shutdown. They see it as an emergency. And you know what? It kind of feels like an emergency. I have to tell you, I'm broadcasting live from Philadelphia, and arriving in Philadelphia, I could see the long work, you know, faces of the TSA workers who were doing their job. Absolutely. I had a conversation with two that asked, is this off the record? And of course it was going to be off the record. And they said things were getting pretty tough. Tough as far as morale was concerned. And so many TSA brethren, and that's what one guy told me, we feel like we have to lift each other up, and it's demoralizing in the fact that we're borrowing money from neighbors, friends, that kind of thing, and have to go to food pantries to feed families. Somebody told me in Dallas, as I was leaving from Dallas to Philadelphia, that he had the situation, and he was one of the people on the line, in other words, that ran the machine that we all have the pleasure of going through. And he told me that he had two people in his family who worked for the TSA, and really, honestly, how demoralizing, and that was the word I kept hearing, or versions of demoralizing anyway. So U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi told the press that he may not deliver the State of the Union speech in the chamber of the House of Representatives until the 33-day-old partial government shutdown has wrapped up. And that happened on Wednesday. This is the words we've been hearing, though, already. So that's when the president shot back and said, look, it's been canceled by Nancy Pelosi. She doesn't want to hear the truth. And Pelosi said, we're supposed to be doing it, and but we can't with the government shut down. And Donald Trump, the president, said, we are supposed to do it. And Nancy can call it how she wants it, but it's not the truth she doesn't want to hear. And more importantly, for the American people to hear the truth. We just found out she canceled it. I think it's a great blotch on the incredible country that we all love. You know, the State of the Union, I thought about this. And I was always somebody who watched the State of the Union, even not involved in this crazy game of talk radio, which I love, and talking what's happening, the buzz in your backyard and mine, and so much of it coming out of politics, business, or sports. But nevertheless, the State of the Union was always a big deal in my family, because when we came to the table, we talked about politics. Even when I was a kid, I was taught to have an opinion, to pay attention to what was going on, or as we called it, current events. And the State of the Union speech was something we always discussed in my family. It is an annual rite in American politics that's typically done by presidents to announce what their goals are, their policy goals for the coming year. And it's where you see reporters kind of try to hold their feet to the fire as they go back and say, well, this was promised, this didn't happen, here's how we're analyzing what's being said and what the policies are going to be. Well, there's none of that. It really is a standoff between the president and the Democrats, and we know that. I mean, this is the show we thought we were going to see once we went into 2019, and this is the show we're getting, frankly. And Donald Trump's not backing off of this. The president's not moving an inch on the funding for this U.S.-Mexico border wall. And this all started back in December 22nd. This started this partial government shutdown. So the funding expired for reasons that didn't relate to the border security or immigration, but it's how we fund the government, and this is why we're where we are. So $5.7 billion busted out to do this border wall. It's a demand the Democrats oppose and say they're not going to change their thoughts on it. Meanwhile, you got 800,000 federal workers on furlough working without pay, which I've seen for myself now in a couple of different cities. I mentioned Tampa the other day, and I saw very slow lines in Tampa, but not giant lines, just slower. And I can't imagine what that would be like trying to bum rides to work, as we would call it, or drive an Uber on the side because you have no way to get money and you're trying to hang on to the job that you have. So where does this go from here? The answer is the same answer that we've been talking about all along. And trust me, I have some pretty good sources on this covering the chamber for how many years now, more than a decade. And really, the best I get from friends who are aides, from friends who are in Congress, is, yeah, this is a standoff like none other, like something they haven't seen. But this standoff, I think, hangs around. And that's why, because there is no givenness. There's definitely no compromise. So the Fox poll that came out was interesting. 75% of voters see the shutdown as an emergency, and it does feel like that. 43% of registered voters support President Trump's border wall. This, again, is the Fox News poll that was released on Wednesday. Remember, there's always that crazy margin of error, which is always 4 points. But 75% say they see the shutdown as an emergency, and even a bigger problem than border issues. So now, as we swing into 34, 35, 36 days, the 5.7 is still the number. There is no State of the Union address. The poll also found 51% blame the press for the shutdown, 51% still oppose the wall. 34% of voters surveyed said they blame Democrats, congressional Democrats, for the shutdown. 3% blame Republicans. 9% blame all of the above. Isn't that interesting that you've got the pro-wall people who are more likely want to go the distance on the shutdown than the anti-wall people? I don't know. Maybe it's not. That's the dynamic we have. And I don't know that it's interesting. I'll just leave it at that. It seems interesting to me, but there doesn't look like there's any compromise hanging around in the wind, and that is the key thing here. No compromise means what? It means the government is going to continue to be shut down. And I'm getting lots and lots of emails from many of you, like this one from Joseph, who says, Kate, my nephew is affected by this. He's a TSA worker in the Northeast, and everybody in the family has been helping them out through PayPal, through whatever means, because he's too proud. He'll never ask for money. He saved money. He's a good kid. So it has nothing to do with that. It just has to do with the economics of having had his wife having had a baby and not being able to work. So what do you do when you got to scrimp that money together? So he's not older, doesn't have these great big funds, and this is cutting into all of that. It's pretty doom and gloomy feeling when you can't clothe and put diapers on your baby, because let's face it, if you've ever been diaper shopping, they're not that cheap. All right, thanks for sending in the comments, Joseph. I get it, and I'm getting a lot of that in the mailbag. In fact, because of that, we're going to go there in our next segment. Also, horrific shooting in Florida. Senseless, stupid crime. Makes no sense whatsoever. Kate Delaney, hang with us, everybody.
Pain in my neck, back, and shoulders has really gotten worse.
Relief for body pain is here with Sunny Bay Heating Pads.
Well, the last thing I want is to take another pill, so what's so good about Sunny Bay Heating Pads?
Sunny Bay Heating Pads, made by Biomed DB Design right here in the USA, come in all sizes. Our extra-large microwavable heating pad for back pain is designed to be large enough to cover your entire back. It's also perfect to wrap around your legs, knees, or shoulder and neck.
But I need to know they're good quality.
Of course. Sunny Bay Heating Pads. pads and pillows are often an Amazon choice. And it's easy and most affordable when you purchase your Sunny Bay heating pads right from our website, sunshinepillows.com. Or call us, 253-678-1361.
Hey, a Sunny Bay heating pad
would make a great gift, right?
Yes, and they start at just $19.99 and free shipping is available. So call 253-678-1361 or shop for your Sunny Bay heating pad at sunshinepillows.com.
You may need this herbal tea for relief right away, so write this down. DrMillersClinic.com. If you take meds, then suffer stomach distress, constipation, indigestion, acid reflux, and bloating, and nothing else helps, get Dr. Miller's Holy Tea or Super Holy Tea, a cleansing, detoxifying herbal tea now available at great rates direct from Dr. Miller's office. Call or click 888-660-7039 or DrMillersClinic.com.
There's a man named Dr. Joel Wallach who is anything but your typical doctor, both a veterinarian and naturopathic physician. Doc asks, why does the United States spend more money on health care by far and still rank 50th in health and longevity worldwide? He believes that people should empower themselves with a basic understanding of nutrition, take charge of their health, and attain optimal health and longevity through nutrition, not by toxic prescription drugs that lead to side effects and more toxic prescription drugs. Doc Wallach's message is resonating with an increasing number of Americans who are waking up to all the big government, big pharma, and big insurance manipulation of our healthcare system. I'm George Dorey, and I like what Doc Wallach is saying and doing to enlighten people about healthcare. Visit BrightsideBend.com and listen to Doc Wallach's Deadly Recipes lecture. It makes a lot of sense, and I urge you to join the Brightside Bend team. Go to BrightsideBend.com. That's BrightsideBend.com.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
All right, here we are diving into the mailbag, and many of you talking about this senseless, outrageous gunman murdering 5 people in Sebring, Florida, at a bank. And I'm going to talk about that and go to some of those emails. So let's dive into it. 5 people. The number murdered senselessly. A gunman takes hostages in the Florida bank. 21-year-old Zephan Xavier is his name, and that's who he was identified as anyway. So imagine that. He was handcuffed, pulled out of the bank, wearing just a t-shirt and khaki shorts, looked like any other person that would be in the bank. Bottom line is he opened fire and took 5 lives. Allegedly, he is the suspect. So 5 people senselessly murdered. A tragic, tragic day. Apparently, he entered and locked the bank, then forced customers to be on the floor. And we see how these things go. Usually, shut your mouth, you give me your cell phones. It's the money that the person or people are after when they're bank robbers. Anyway, a man called police dispatch Wednesday afternoon, reported he had fired shots inside the bank, and the SWAT team was sent in after him. He barricaded himself inside, didn't negotiate, refused to negotiate. After the SWAT team burst inside, he finally surrendered, but the people were on the floor, and someone was walking around them, and allegedly it's him, and the 5 people are, dead. So SunTrust was the bank, and the chairman and CEO, Bill Rogers, what was he going to do? He releases a statement saying the bank is saddened by the incident. And in fact, here's the quote, our entire team mourns this terrible loss. Of course they do. I mean, this is the 19th mass shooting in 2019. What is happening? And I'll mention it again. Sebring, Florida. Senseless. Why? Why there? Why did that happen? Why at that time? And there are no great answers for this, and they're investigating, of course, that and trying to figure out what it is that that sent him into this rage or into the bank where he would do that and then doesn't even, it's not even about getting away with money and getting caught or something goes awry during a bank robbery, but that's what it looks like. So let's dive into the mailbag. This one is from Xavier, who says, I live in Florida. I listen to the show. I've been listening to you, Kate, for a long time, and I am so stunned by what happened in this bank. You know, it's one thing to tell people, lay on the floor, shut your mouth, empty the drawers, give me your wallet, give me your purse. It's another thing in cold blood to execute five people. What in the heck is happening in our world? It's senseless. It's tragic. I can't imagine being a first responder in that situation. I think they should throw the blank book at him. And absolutely, it needs to be the death penalty, baby, all the way. This is why we should have the death penalty. Then there's this one from Marcia who says, my two cents. This is senseless. Too bad we can't just execute him. I know that's vile to say that, I suppose, to people who are very sensitive. But this is why we have the death penalty. This is why it's tragic when it goes away. And there is no way the families recover from it, no matter how much therapy they get. Sorry to any psychologist or psychiatrist who would be offended by that remark, but as somebody who's gone through a tragedy, I know it's not that easy to bounce back from. Well, touche, I would agree with that. It's not that easy to bounce back. Now, what do we know about the shooter? Because I've gotten Jamie, Bill, and also Rachel asked me, okay, what do you know about the shooting suspect? And, okay, here's what I know. I mentioned this. He's 21. He was a low-profile guy, stormed into the bank, and he is a former Florida Department of Corrections officer trainee. And what brought him there? What happened there? He was hired to work at a correctional institute near the Avon Park Air Force Range, is what they're saying, but resigned on January 9th. So he was hired, but he resigned. No explanation for the resignation. He had a little bit of a presence on social media because, of course, they scrubbed that. He had a Facebook page that listed 9 friends, so not much, just a single photo. That's it. And then there's some interest in video games, goth style music. You know, in other words, they're scrubbing everything they can find on him and especially scouring social media. And they were trying to negotiate to get him out, to exit the bank, but they weren't successful. They kept trying, and then that was it. So if you want to get a sense of where this was, the Suncoast Bank, Sebring is about 88 miles west of Vero Beach, 94 southeast of Tampa. I've spent some time either going through there or being in that area. And again, SunTrust Bank, not Suncoast. This SunTrust Bank just was targeted, and we'll probably find out more about why there, why did it happen there, what was the interest in that particular bank. Was it just kind of a random thing? Again, you know, we'll put it that way. All right, something else worth talking about, and this is something that I mentioned when we first had the shutdown, that, you know, if you want this to end, you call in sick and you get everybody who works at the airport to call in sick. So unions representing air traffic controllers, airline pilots, flight attendants issued a joint statement warning of serious safety concerns in the air travel industry if the partial government shutdown continues, because it's forced air traffic controllers, air marshals, etc., and other safety workers to work without pay. And, you know, this is an industry where they're kind of risk averse. And this is exactly what the statement said. In our risk averse industry, we can't even calculate the level of risk currently at play, nor predict the point at which the entire system will break. It's unprecedented. Thank you. I was waiting for someone to say that. I certainly wasn't the only talk show host saying this, because, you know, it's about opinions and looking at the situation and all angles from this. But, of course, it's dangerous. So the Federal Aviation Administration responds to the union's concerns, they shoot back and they say, look, I mean, listen to this statement. The FAA the FAA continually reviews and analyzes the performance of the national airspace systems to assess its safety and efficiency. Well, it's not safe. How can it be safe? How could you claim that it could be safe? And they're not saying that because you can never 100%. But the staff shortages across the country where, listen, you got air traffic controllers who are working 60 hours a week without pay. And they're saying flat out, the government needs to open now. Because do they have incentive to keep working without a paycheck? I just want you to think for a second. Could you work without a paycheck? Would you work without a paycheck, even if you're making it? And I'm going to say the people who are making it, no, they're not working without a paycheck. The people who are hand-to-mouth, they don't want to work without a paycheck. Nobody wants to work without a paycheck. They don't. They don't want to do that. So this isn't good. I mean, there are limitations, and those limitations are being stretched. But will the Democrats give in? I don't think the president gives in. He wants the wall. He wants it funded, period, end of story. And I don't think that needle moves. I don't. I don't see that happening. And so having said that, he's not going to blink. The Democrats would have to blink. They're the ones that are going to have to blink if anything different is going to happen here, if there's going to be some sort of a compromise outcome, whatever, that's desirable to end the shutdown. That's where it has to happen, right? It has to happen there, period, period. Meanwhile, while we're wrestling with that and all of you are sending emails about it, I got this email from Chuck who says, Kate, you know, you've talked about China before. You talked about finances. You've had investment people on. You've had stockbrokers on. Did you see that China is going to top the U.S. as the number one retail market in 2019, according to a report that was just released? I read it this morning in the Wall Street Journal. Are you stunned by this? What are your thoughts about this with the struggles that we've had with China and what's at stake? Well, do you think we want to come in second, third, or fourth in anything? Well, some things we clearly don't care about, healthcare and the mess that that is. But retail sales in China forecast to grow 7.5%. You know how much money that is? $5.6 trillion, baby, in 2019. Now, who's coming up with these numbers? It's eMarketer's worldwide retail and e-commerce forecast. They take a lot of pride in putting that together. It's not some slam, bam, thank you, we threw these numbers out there. U.S. retail sales are projected to increase 3.3% to $5.5 trillion. So we're right on their tail. Growth is slowing for both countries, of course. And this is the forecast that China is expected to outpace the U.S. through 2022. Why? Rising incomes there, catapulting a lot of their people into the middle class. While we're crushing and killing the middle class, they're elevating the middle class. And that makes a very, very big difference in the disposable income and the money that then is pumped back into the economy. All right, hang with us. More coming up next. Round the Bend with me, Kate Delaney.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
You USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Speaker Nancy Pelosi has again said no to President Trump, telling him he cannot come to the House chamber to deliver the State of the Union address while the government remains shut down. The official word came in a letter. Pelosi says she won't call a joint session of Congress to hear from President Trump while the shutdown continues to drag on. Pelosi spoke to the U.S. Conference of Mayors.
The shutdown must end, and it must end now.
President Trump accused Pelosi of not wanting to hear the truth.
She's afraid of the truth, and the super-left Democrats, the radical Democrats, what's going on in that party is shocking.
The president says he'll announce his plans for next Tuesday very soon. Votes are expected on Thursday in the Senate on border security and funding parts of the government. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Does your business spend $500 a month or more on gas and electric bills? Did you know by making a simple free phone call, you can save up to 25% on your bill every month? What could you do with a 25% savings on utility bills every month? Energy deregulation is now available in your state. Making one simple phone call will show you how we can lower your gas and electric bills instantly, with no changes to your bill and no enrollment fee. This is a free service. The only thing you'll notice is a lower bill every month. Call U.S. Power and Light right now. Learn how easy it is to lower your utility bills for your business and save money. We promise. So if you spend over $500 a month on your gas and electric bills, please call right now and unleash your savings.
800-941-3381. 800-941-3381. 800-941-3381. That's 800-941-3381.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Joined by the Reverend Patrick McAndrew, who's written a book called The Miracle Before Your Eyes. It's funny, it's something that I've talked to my friends a lot about lately, and there's starting to be more conversations, I think, about miracles, things we can't explain, etc. And I'm going to let Patrick delve more into that, but I love the idea of what he's fleshed out here, that's for sure. So, Patrick, I guess the first question is, what led you to write the book?
Well, there were two different things that led me to write the book. One was I'm a minister, and I was at a minister's conference, and I was telling some of my stories, and one of the other ministers says you should write a book, and I said, but I can't, because I've had my whole life, my body has had dyslexia, and so I stopped doing things because of dyslexia. And so that's what I told him. And he looked at me and says, stop your butts. Get down and do it. But originally, you know, what caused me to write the book is because I have these personal stories in my life that as I would teach them in the different classes that I would have, I could see in people's eyes in their conversations that the stories were life transforming as they heard them, because they could relate to their own experiences in their life and use it as a beginning point. Many years ago, I was working in a 5-star restaurant, and it was crazy. It was madness. It was very much like the TV show Hell's Kitchen with Chef Ramsay, and I was Chef Ramsay, and I didn't know it, and I didn't understand why all the people around me were angry, and although it was a great job, and I was working from one of my natural gifts, which is cooking, I wasn't happy. Life was crazy. And I ended up serving a drink to somebody who ended up being in an accident that killed himself. And it just put me into a very, 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 very dark place. And as I ended up quitting my job, quitting the restaurant industry, quit drinking. And I was sitting out by a lake, and this really strange occurrence occurred, and I felt spirit's presence all around me, saw spirit's presence all around me, and when it was done, I didn't know how to explain it, didn't know what it was, but it was the only place I wanted to live. And from that moment on, that's been my pursuit, is to live from that awareness.
Wow. Wow. So take us back to the lake for a second and the strange occurrence. And you said it's hard to explain, but what was it? I mean, just something happened that, and you said you could see spirits. What was it that jolted you?
I went out and I sat by this, you know, I was living in Chicago, and they have many little lakes that run along the Springs River. And I went out and sat down by the lake, and I just took in a deep breath, and I let it out. And I asked God, what am I going to do? You know, and at that point, I didn't go to church. And so it was a very strange, I hadn't been to church for 15, 16 years. So it was one of those times, it was just, what am I doing? And I sat there and I said, God, help me. Why is life so horrible? Why is this going on in my life? And I just took a deep breath in, and I let it out. And I sat there for a couple minutes just breathing, and all of a sudden I saw this flicker of light in the glass. I saw this flicker of light in the geese, the northern geese that were swimming on the lake. I saw this light energy flowing in everything. And then as I breathed it in, you know, it was a changing moment. And I just felt this inner prompting that said, just do what I want you to do. You know, live from that awareness, and you can be here.
And once that happened to you, you knew, okay, wow, I get it. I'm going to do something different, and you started to change your life?
Not exactly. Because I didn't really even believe it. I didn't even believe it myself. And so as I began to process it, I began to bounce things off my wife, who was going through one of her deepest, darkest moments of time. And she had started going to church, and something that we never talked about, because she was raised without church, and I was raised in a church my soul didn't agree with. And we began talking, and one day I went to church with her, and she was really shocked. And the church that I went to resonated with my soul, and it was little bit by little bit. And as I went in, I would put myself in different positions, I would listen to this inner prompting that would guide me, you know, and as I listened to the inner prompting, I would also have this other voice that we call our ego that would argue with it. And I would have to work through, the debate between the two and follow the softer, quieter, quieter voice, and that's what led me to each one of the events, the occurrences that I talk about in my life, and in one step by step by step, and learning spiritual principle along with that, it guided me to a place where I live most of the time in awareness of that presence, you know, spirit's presence.
How do you, in the book, The Miracle Before Your Eyes, and we're speaking with Reverend Patrick McAndrew, what do you tell people about trying to open up their hearts and their soul and understand that awareness? Because as you said, most of the time you live in that world, and it is something that you have to practice and really be open to. What do you tell people to do?
The first thing is that we have to understand is the presence is there all the time. The miracle before our eyes is there all the time. And what we have to do to change the way that we see the world, change the way that we see the way that often we've been taught to think through our many experiences and to see that presence. You know, the word heaven, translated from Greek, Aramaic, and Latin directly into English, doesn't refer to an afterlife, but actually means infinite possibilities, ever expanding potential. And so as Jesus taught about the kingdom of heaven, he said that it was right here in Luke 17:20, said that it was right here within our heart. And what we have to do is to seek its presence, you know, to look out and begin to open our eyes to this experience. You know, and at this same time, as we're seeking this presence is here, our worldly experiences, the news media and different things, many different things, cause us to look at the hardship as opposed to the miracle, this field of infinite possibilities that we get to pick and choose between. And so that's as I point out in conversations, as I point that out, is that they have to make the choice, but they have to be aware of what's there. And it's raising our awareness up to that presence, like the prodigal son story. He had to rise up from eating the pods that he was feeding the pigs, rising up into awareness, going home to his father's kingdom. That's what we have to do is in those moments of darkness, those moments of challenges, understand two things. We have to rise up, and then it's also a learning experience. So I can look back at many of the learning experiences, many of the experiences that I have, and I can see the learning. I can see Spirit's presence in that moment prompt me, or I can see the other. But as a result of all these different experiences, I've learned to look for the learning, for this way of learning that opens me up to a deeper and deeper awareness of the One Presence.
Wow, and you would tell people that for people who love reading personal stories about life events and they're searching for something they can't quite explain, we only have a minute left, this book is definitely for them because they'll understand more as you explain it, right?
Yeah, that's why I wrote it, is so people could look at these stories and relate to them and open up to this greater possibility within their life. And so many of the people who read my book have actually come back to my bookstore and bought more and given them to their friends.
Wow, that's great. Yeah. There's the true testament. By the way, The Miracle Before Your Eyes, you can pick it up Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. You can go to Litfire as well. Patrick McAndrew, The Miracle Before Your Eyes, thank you so much for joining us on the show. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Kate. Thank you.
The The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens, and we're proud to promote amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Visit GCNLife.com for products like Lumines. The Lumines anti-aging skincare line restores youthful vitality and radiance to your skin, reducing the appearances of fine lines and wrinkles with stem cell technology. There's also Instantly Ageless, which works within 2 minutes, reducing under-eye bags, fine lines, wrinkles, and pores. Jeunesse has products to help you with how you look and feel in a very short time. Nobel-nominated Dr. Vincent Giampapa has designed several products helping the body perform better. Jeunesse products have a 30-day money-back guarantee, and they're available up to a 25% preferred price discount. See all of the amazing Jeunesse products at GCNLife.com or call toll-free 1-844-443-6637. 1-844-443-6637.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And a crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Virtual green room right now. I don't think we gave him too much Red Bull. I'm not sure about that. He is the complete opposite of many of us on the third shift who kick it into high gear a little bit later in the evening. Eric Peters is our guest, and he is a libertarian. He is self-professed libertarian gearhead. He writes about cars, energy, and freedom. Here's what I like. If you go to Eric Peters autos.com, because I'm an auto freak anyway, but if you go there, man, you will learn things that will make your eyes roll around in the back of your head, including some of the stuff that we've been talking about. What is the deal with biodiesel, which is being shoved down our throat, and who is really profiting from it? He calls it the Kool-Aid of the farm lobby, and I agree. Eric, thanks for hanging with us.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me on the show.
So, of course, now there's a lot of conversation about this, especially with the Iowa caucuses and all that stuff, and we're right into the thick of it. It seems like every day Hillary Clinton is in Iowa. So to be these politicians in modern times, you just is that what they do? They just, all right, look, we gotta go along with biodiesel, or we gotta go along with ethanol. We keep hearing about the ethanol factor, but there's not even enough plants to manufacture what we would need, right?
Well, the interesting thing is that the lobby contributes equally to both political parties, and so in that way they've got both their bases covered. It really doesn't matter from their point of view which one gets elected, because ultimately it seems to be it's their guy or perhaps their woman, depending on how things turn out.
Yeah, so when you look at renewables, what specifically bothers you the most?
Well, let's see. Let's start with, we're told often about how advantageous it is to use these renewables, but if they're so advantageous, then why does the government have to force them down our throats? I've drawn the parallel with, I like to go to Chipotle. Your listeners may like Chipotle and get a burrito or a bowl there. And Chipotle doesn't send a lobbyist to Washington to have the government carve out a subsidy for Chipotle burritos because people like them and they're willing to buy them without any coercion involved. And I wonder why that same standard doesn't apply to these biofuels. If there's such a good idea, it shouldn't be necessary for the government to be involved.
Yeah, and I would say the other thing is, if it's such a good idea, then let's let the politicians drive around only on biofuels and really push that to all their constituents, which, of course, you know that's not happening, unless it's advantageous to them and they're in the breadbasket area or they're in areas where that's being pushed because of the corn lobbies there, then that's a whole different story. So it is about the power of the purse, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's a very valid point. Similarly, with regard to Obamacare and various other things that they pass, they exempt themselves from it, and that's rather telling. You know, if it's not good for the goose, it shouldn't be good for the gander. The other point that I would make is that it does cause food prices to rise, simply because a lot of the potential food that could be produced for animal or human consumption, specifically with regard to ethanol, the corn, with regard to biodiesel, soybeans, is diverted to the production of these biofuels, and as a result of that, the cost of food goes up. So we're paying more for food and we're paying more for fuel.
Yeah, beef specifically would cost more. As I know, I'm in beef land in Dallas, and then it costs more, as I was talking to a farmer the other day, it costs more to ship that too, right?
Sure, because ethanol and biodiesel, it's less energy dense, so you have to burn more of it to go the same distance. So the truckers have to spend more on fuel to get from A to B, and the stuff that they're hauling costs us more because it's cost more to produce it.
Yeah, and then here's the other part of this, Eric. What about older cars? What does that do to older cars when you're talking about using these alternatives?
Ethanol has been a disaster for older vehicles, which were not designed to accommodate high alcohol content fuels. Most of the ethanol that's sold right now is E10, meaning that the gas you buy is 10% ethanol. They're pushing for E15, which would be 15% ethanol, and they're also looking down the road at E85, which is 85% ethanol. Alcohol is a corrosive fuel, and if the vehicle's fuel system is not designed specifically to accommodate it, you get all kinds of problems. One of the big ones is that it attracts moisture, and moisture is a big enemy of your fuel system. It causes fuel lines to rot out, and it's in particular playing havoc with people who have marine engines and so on, and power sports, lawn equipment and what have you. It's been really, really tough on those things.
Yeah, so when we look at that all combined, and then you look at the auto industry, and if you're producing new cars, I guess it depends on what it is you're producing and where you're at. But that could be a disaster, too, as well, for many in the auto industry, especially when they're in that, what I call the second-hand market, when we're talking about, like, used cars, right?
Yeah, it's accelerating the obsolescence of the older cars because it's increasing the wear and tear on them and getting them out of the market. And the other side of the coin is that, to get back to the point about being less energy dense, your fuel efficiency goes down when you're using these fuels. And that's rather ironic because we're constantly told about how imperative it is that we get higher efficiency and more miles per gallon, and yet the government is force-feeding fuels that are less fuel efficient on the public.
Yeah. All right. I'd be remiss, Eric, if I didn't ask you this. We're speaking to Eric Peters. You can check him out at ericpetersautos.com. You know, you write about cars, and I saw a picture of you on a motorcycle. What's your favorite chariot to ride in? What do you like the best?
Cars or bikes?
Bikes.
Okay, I've got an old Kawasaki two-stroke triple, and for people who are familiar with those, in particular the H2 750 that was made in the early mid '70s, and they are they were known as the Widowmaker back in the day because of their power curve, and there's nothing that quite makes the sound of a Kawasaki two-stroke triple on its power curve. There are bikes today that are much faster and much quicker, but they're much more controlled. As Hunter Thompson would say, it takes a real man to ride an old Kawasaki two-stroke triple.
I love that. How do you feel about, I know you wrote about this, you know, if you go to your website, you can read all this stuff, but you wrote about the Toyota Camry hybrid. A lot of people are talking about hybrids and what does that mean and should I get a hybrid and how much does it cost to me? And what did you find with the Camry?
Well, I find, now, I think the technology is impressive and interesting, but despite all the hobbles that have been put on them by the government, you can get diesels that will do as well or better for significantly less money. With all due respect to Toyota, and I like the Camry, it's a good car, you can pick up something like a Volkswagen Jetta TDI diesel for about $5,500 less than the base price of the Camry hybrid. And in real-world driving, and I drive these cars for a living, and so I can tell you from personal experience, you will match the mileage of the hybrid, in particular if you drive a lot on the highway, which most people tend to do, for less money with less hassle. So I'm very impressed with some of the diesel cars that are on the market right now.
Yeah. When you go out, because obviously, you know, you ride a lot, and if you're on your bike, do you have a favorite route that you take?
Yeah, I live out here in the sticks of rural Southwest Virginia, and there's a road just down the road from me called Bent Mountain, and it's a series of S-turns that goes about 2-3 miles from about 1,500 feet at the valley floor all the way up to about 3,000 feet in that relatively short distance, and it's the finest test track you'll find on the East Coast, in my opinion.
Wow. So, you know, I said this in the beginning, too, mixing in the politics of the libertarian bent. When you look at the fact that on Thursday we got 10 people on a stage of the Republican debate, is there anyone in that crowd that you like?
Unfortunately not. Unfortunately not. You know, it's really kind of daunting and sad to look at that field and not find anybody that's really simpatico. And the reason, as a libertarian, that's the case is I'm not looking to tell anybody what to do. I would just like to leave everybody alone and ask the same in return.
Yep.
And unfortunately, none of those guys are willing to do that.
Yeah, it looked like Rand Paul, you know, initially, when Rand Paul jumped into the Senate, it looked like he was going in that direction, but now that's switched, I think.
I think so, too, unfortunately. Of course, you know, on the other side of the fence, it's none too appealing either.
Yeah, so then what do you do? I mean, it comes down to this. I say this all the time because I'm always pushing for the third party. But, you know, when it comes to voting, do you just say, well, I got to sit this out because who am I voting for?
Well, there's lots of arguments to be made on that. But one of them that I think is pretty persuasive is by with just withdrawing your consent. They desperately need the illusion, if not the actuality, of consent. That is the idea that most people have supported one or the other candidates. But when you break it down, particularly at the presidential level, what is it, something like about half the eligible voter pool votes. So that's about 50%. And then the winner typically wins by about 25%. So you've got a relatively small minority of the actual eligible voters who actually wind up selecting the president. So despite all the talk about democracy, majority rule, in fact, the minority rules.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? And if you, like you said, if you do the math, it's simple math, then you realize what's really happening. Yeah,
exactly.
Really, really, really sad. Fun to talk to you, though, Eric Peters. Thanks for hanging late with us. And again, check him out at ericpetersautos.com. Thanks.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
You betcha. Bye-bye.
And nothing to see. Sometimes I feel like something has gone here. Something is wrong here.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists. Get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.